Welcome to Go Home Heat, an NXT podcast, a takeover podcast, a vengeance podcast. We have gotten help here today from Lit Nick, who is calling in from Savannah.
What up?
Took a pause in the cause of writing the great script at grad school, the next great film, miniseries,
hopefully.
NXT showcase, pre-show. They talk a bunch. Nothing really happened other than LA what?
Knight?
LA Knight. You know him as Eli Drake. Came out, ran his mouth, because he's the best at running his mouth. Shot out of there, made everybody who was standing there look like an idiot. Perfect, right?
Eli Drake, when I was watching NWA, he was always like the person I was always looking forward to seeing on NWA, except for, say for, you know, Karate Man.
Yes.
But he's so good on the mic. Just let him talk. Just give him a mic, tell him to roast somebody, and he'll do it.
That's right.
Just praise himself for 5 minutes. He is the best person I've seen on the mic who could praise himself since Ric Flair, and it sounds believable.
Right. I get it. I mean, The Rock lived, but I get what you're saying.
Okay. You know he was on, like, The Rock was obviously on there, that list, but, you know, well, yeah.
Okay. Technically, though, I think Ric Flair stayed in wrestling longer than The Rock, so you can still say it.
He's still wrestling, technically.
He's doing something.
He's doing something. We're not talking about him now and that whole bit.
Dakota Kai, Rocky Gonzalez, Shotzi Blackheart, Ember Moon, the first ever finals of the Dusty Classic. What did you think about this thing?
I thought it was hard-hitting stuff. Just Raquel Gonzalez, just everything. Every time she hits something, it, like, I get that's the point of the big man, as they say in wrestling, but she just makes it, and it's probably because people selling it are doing a fantastic job, so I guess there's more props to them, but I don't know, she just makes it work, and the fact that she was taking all of those hits and, like, selling them, but, like, doing it in a believable way, just and let's not forget how great Ember Moon and Shotzi and Dakota still remain to be.
Yes.
So good.
Now, the match was fantastic, and I'm just going to cut to the chase. If you didn't watch this pay-per-view for whatever reason and somewhere along the line this week, I highly recommend going back and watching it. They kept it to four matches, basically, or four or five, and just a nice, easy night of wrestling, not a whole bunch of baloney. Most of the action was fast and furious, a lot of mat wrestling along with that. As a tag team, Kai and Gonzalez will be almost perfect because you have Kai who can absorb the punishment, and Raquel Gonzalez, your classic old school heater. I mean, when she went out there one time, she hit two fallaway slams on Ember and then just went and grabbed Shotzi off the apron and gave her a fallaway slam for good measure to keep her out of the fight, you know?
It's very good. Like I said, that's the exact sequence I was thinking of. I was saying when she hit someone, it hurts me.
Right.
On the other side.
Right. Now, Shotzi looked good in this thing. That they had one sliced bread thing that was kind of awkward. The rest of it was all good. The Shotzi suicide dive into Kai was fantastic. My goodness. I did not know who was going to win this until the last stretch where Gonzalez was just throttling him, you know? And she puts it away like she should. I thought they both managed to, in a short period of time, create combo moves that fit them. I think Ember, if they want to keep Shotzi, I know they like Shotzi as a singles wrestler. I do. I mean, I do too. She's a little, I like her in a tag team setting, learning how to be a singles wrestler, because you can kind of go out there and do your moves and then go stand on the apron and kind of think about what you're supposed to do next. Because sometimes in matches, she doesn't really get to do long matches yet, but sometimes she can get a little paint by numbers-ish. You know what I mean? When she's out there, you can just kind of see her thinking. But she's got everything inside of her to be the whole goods. I love her to death as a wrestler. Ember's fantastic. So if you keep them together, they're just going to keep combining moves. I would love to see Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez versus Shayna Baszler, though, and Nia Jax. I mean, I kind of thought you wouldn't give me this win because I just didn't see you putting Nia Jax and Raquel Gonzalez nose to nose for me until it was a singles match or until it was a Royal Rumble. But I'll take it. I mean, those two are, you know, these are, I don't mean this in a negative way at all. They are just really strong women, and I can't imagine what, that's the kind of person you've always wondered, right, with Nia. Like, is she strong enough to lift a person like that up? Is Rocky strong enough to pick up Nia and do things with her? It just, there's so much out there. And then you also have, Kai is just such a good, so good at taking beatings. And her offense is fun, too. You know, she's great with her feet. I love this match. You love this match, right?
Yeah.
Ray's also here. He's going to jump in and out when he feels like it. Johnny Gargano versus... They go right... What? Kushida, yeah.
Kushida.
And Johnny's in the old school X-Men Wolverine outfit.
It's not Wolverine. I double-checked that. That's actually reference to Nate Gray, who is also of the X-Men, but not Wolverine.
It's really?
Very obscure, but very good. I'll take it.
Okay, wow. He is a nerd.
Yes, he is.
Which is great.
Guess.
Who isn't, right? Who isn't? What did you think about this?
Good old-fashioned and Matt wrestling, as is exactly what I thought it was going to be. And it was everything I wanted it to be. Just all of the ow arm bars with all the deep positions to put them in. It was just after you go so hard on like the extreme stuff that you can have with that previous tag team match, this was good. Like, and now we're kind of going back to the basics. And because we had Dexter Lumis kidnap Austin Aries off the jump before the match even started, no shenanigans, which was nice.
Right.
By the end of the match, actually, and this is something I noticed, because it had Johnny going back to his roots of wrestling and just doing all of what he's best at, the audience, because it was like a regular, like a small amount, but a regular audience was in the crowd, they started, you could hear them chanting, "Johnny Wrestling." And
right.
Oh, dude, there he is. That's the guy.
Right.
He's back. I mean, he's still a bad guy. Yeah.
Right.
Johnny
well,
wrestling.
An interesting part of the last show they had, you know, you had Johnny playing the buffoon for a little while, and then once Kushida kind of got the better of him and it was a fact he was going to have a match with Kushida, when he gets into the backstage interview, he did flip the script and go, "Look, y'all forgot. I'm Johnny Wrestling. I'm Johnny Takeover. This is what I do. When the lights are the brightest, I'm the best there is." And he went out there and really kind of showcased that. Early in the match, you had kind of a three-part series here in the match where early Kushida is working on that arm, which is previously somewhat injured, and that works really well for him. But then when Gargano gets out of the ring and throws him against the stairs, that kind of winds up being a little bit of a reboot, right? And then that turns into, and then they have a whole nother style that's still a lot of mat wrestling, but Gargano isn't always on top here, but there is back and forth with Gargano somewhat getting the better a lot more. Kushida being able to counter and get right back to those arm bars. And then Gargano flips it and winds up getting the lawn dart Kushida into the second turnbuckle. And that kind of reboots the match again for the stretch run, in which they wound up, of course, getting outside of the ring. You have the classic New Japan kind of spot where he goes to the top of the Titantron area and runs all the way down the railing and kicks Johnny in the arm. And at that point, I thought, oh my goodness, we're gonna see a win here. But that was not to be. As Johnny winds up pulling this thing off, he hits a what's the finisher there? One final heartbeat. He hits one final heartbeat on the ramp and then pulls him into the ring and hits it again and finishes him off, which I thought, as wrestling goes, to be respected, hitting him with your finisher twice made sense in order to get the pin to kind of show a sign of respect to Kushida. And I it sucks kind of because Kushida needs that win, but what you gonna do, man? You know, I mean, Johnny's on a run and he's an entertaining character, and there are so many places you can go with him right now. I get it. I just really wish Kushida could get a belt in this company at some point. Moving on, MSK versus Grizzled Young Vets. What'd you think about this, brother?
It's a good time. It's a good time. I like the Grizzled Young Vets on the mic. It's basic heel stuff, but still, it's fun. Basic heel stuff, even though I don't know. That amused me at the start, but man, they're both so good. Just, we knew the Rascals were great, and we know the Grizzled Young Vets are great, but I don't know, like, the chemistry they had there was pretty solid, I think. You can disagree if you want.
I thought they were great together. Nash Carter, Wesley, I mean, I'm going to have trouble with that because that wasn't their names in the last company, but Drake and Gibson are fantastic. Gibson is a little bit of a mixture between a high flyer and a mat wrestler, whereas Drake is, no, I have that backwards. Drake is the mixture between high flyer, mat wrestler, and Gibson is the strict Birch Lorkin style of wrestler, you know what I mean? And it worked so well with what Nash Carter and Lee do. I like that they had Carter kind of go crazy when he thought the guy was purposely trying to hurt his neck. I liked that, you know, they allow Wes Lee to do these spectacular aerial moves time and again when he's out there. His hot tags are spectacular. We've always known Carter is very good at taking the whoopings, and he is also really good. They're inventive. They come up with something new all the time. They just a great performance by both tag teams, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Now, MSK, I thought it was surprisingly, goes over here and will get a championship match on the flip side of this. I felt like because Grizzled Young Vets had lost last year in the finals, they would win here. I didn't see this going that way, although it does make sense that since Lorkin and Birch are the champs, that you would put
the baby faces against the heels. You know, that makes
correct.
Sense.
It makes total sense, and you'll get a similar matchup other than the fact that MSK will get beaten up way worse than they got beaten up today, because as physical, and they are very physical, as Drake and Gibson are, they are not as physical as those other two dudes. Those guys are bruisers. But I love to watch these kids wrestle, and I'm just happy for them. You know, as great as they were in Impact, they didn't really get to have main event style stuff that much, and so this is great for them. You know, they were doing a lot of time in the treehouse smoking weed, stuff like that. Let's talk about the next big thing, which was a music video for Cameron Grimes, the newly anointed million billionaire, Cameron Grimes. I'm stacking money to the moon in his voice was also the hook there. To the moon. He was in... I'm not sure if he was in a weenie wrap bathing suit, or if he just wears black tighties. But
I thought that was just his wrestling trunks, if I'm honest. I just thought that was it.
Right. Either way, amazing presentation there of him being a complete and utter fool. And I appreciate his willingness to do that. You enjoyed it?
I did.
The Twitter.
I enjoyed it. And so did Twitter, apparently.
The Twitter.
It blew up the instant it happened.
Yes, Twitterverse enjoyed it very much so too. Io Shirai, Toni Storm, and Mercedes Martinez were in the women's title match. Io's jump pre-ring announcement, and Io is kind of doing the... in a funny way, she's kind of doing... She gets beat up a little bit early, and then she kind of just does hot tags the rest of the match, right? You only really see her when she comes flying out of the sky from somewhere. And Martinez and Toni Storm brutalize each other, you know? What did you think about this match?
While I do think it was the weakest of the matches thus in this pay-per-view, it was still really, 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 really good. Because I can't really... And even then, the thing that was wrong with the match was nobody's fault. It was just a technical error with the table, which we could talk about when we talk about it. Whenever Io throws herself off of literally anything, there's always that... I don't know. I get a kick out of it every single time, and I don't know when I will stop getting a kick out of it, but it's great.
She did.
And also, like, no, we have to also probably talk about the fact that, like, Martinez still got it. Still great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the first time she's really gotten to go out there and shine. Normally, she's in something that's squashy in her matches, you know, or she's jumping somebody from behind. This was her being able to kind of stretch it out and go. And Tony's willing to take punishment, which is great. And she gives it. And she has been, her going heel has been great for her. She wrestles differently. She wrestles more physically. She is just flat out a better heel than she is a babyface. And I guess most people probably are. It takes off the limitations as to what you can do. The amazing thing to me was, though, like, okay, Io springboards multiple times. She second rope springboards. She jumps off the top rope from the turnbuckle into the ring with drop kicks. She jumps over the top rope onto everybody. She does the moonsault. She does the I think she did a moonsault from the top turnbuckle onto the floor. And that's when the Toni Storm thing happens, where she's setting up the table and the table falls apart without anybody being thrown onto it. Which, did you hear Bad News Barrett? Did you hear what he said?
What did he say?
He just blurts out, He said
MSK, right?
Yeah, he said, I thought when MSK hit the table, I felt it move. Like, he was giving us a reason as to why it would be willing to break so easily, right?
Oh.
He's clever, man.
I forgot his name. I think I saw him kind of lean on the table and actually lean a little too hard.
Barrett?
And it just collapsed.
Are you talking about Barrett? Yeah.
Not Barrett, the other guy.
Oh,
Victor.
Yeah, right? Victor. But anyway, see, I think that cost us a couple of minutes in the match, which would have made it better, because I think what was going to happen there was they were going to wind up on that table, and somebody was either going to go through the table, or Io was going to go onto the table, or after going through the table, they were going to stumble to their feet, and Io would be up on top of it, which we get the spot anyway, but it didn't make as much sense because, of course, they could just kind of had to wait for her to climb up there and jump onto him, which I'm okay with it kind of, because if somebody's jumping 10, 11 feet onto people that are standing 5 feet off the ground, I'm not going to get too mad about everybody being safe. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a heck of a bump she's taking if she doesn't hit Toni Storm. And she did hit Toni. Dick, she hit Toni. Toni caught a lot of hips and stomach with her face and chest right there from Io from a long ways up. But anyway, and so then, of course, they get back into the ring. Martinez winds up. When everybody gets up, Martinez throws Io over the steps or whatever. into the steps and then over the steps. She winds up getting into the ring. Tony gets the better of her after she gets the headbutt and the Stormbreaker. She's got the cover, and that's when Io does the moonsault onto both of them and gets the 1-2-3. And oddly enough, usually your world champion is at a huge disadvantage unless your world champion is a heel in these multiple person, everything's going to be crazy matches. But because Io is able to pick her spots and just land onto the pile from somewhere in the sky, it works like a charm, her being in these matches. You know, she won the belt on one of these. This is another fantastic one she's been in. I mean, it's great when she goes out there and kills it for 12 minutes on her own. But this is really cool, too, because you get the... Like with the other match, you got Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte brawling, and then just out of the blue, oh yeah, that's right. The best person in the match only appears every now and then, right? And Io can do that here too. It's really neat. Mm-hmm. What did you think, my friend, about Balor and Dunn?
I mean, this is my personal favorite match of the night, and just Balor's like matches since he's been like came down to NXT, and specifically since he's gotten the championship, have just been so very, very good. And I mean, part of that's because everyone that he goes up against is just on that level. You know what I mean?
Right. He's been lucky enough to wrestle O'Reilly twice. Yeah.
He goes up against Dune.
Peter Dune. Yes.
Which it was very similar, at least in some ways, to the Kushida and Gargano match, because it got very technical very quick. But like when it hit the gas, it really just hit the gas. And I'm trying to think of the final sequence, like kind of jumping like back and forth, like in that small little bit, was not a lot, but just enough to kind of keep you kind of hooked, like thinking that it was over, like at every other second.
Well, they had a neat story to tell with Finn's jaw probably still not being fully healed. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, Dunn had hurt his fingers 2 weeks ago with the pull thing, you know what I mean? So his fingers were injured as well. And then once Finn is able to injure Pete's knee with a couple of different bars there, then you really have a story to tell, right? Because anytime Dunn hits a big move, he grabs his knee. Anytime, and yeah, I used to hate this stuff, but these guys have been able to sell these injuries so well lately. And the fact is, you know, Finn Balor's not selling a jaw injury. He has plates in it. You know, so when a guy insists on hitting it, it may not hurt, but it ain't the most clever thing to do if you've got just had plates put in your jaw a month ago, you know? And Finn has been able to, since re-entering NXT, by not bringing the demon personality with him, he has been able to, at the beginning of these big matches, at these takeovers, show you, you know, I'm still a European wrestler. I can still do everything. You know, you think Pete Dunne's the greatest on the mat. You think all these other guys, are, you know, O'Reilly's the greatest on the mat. I might not be them, but I can do all that other stuff and almost do what they do. And he's a great counter wrestler. He gets put into these things. And it's not like, you know as well as anybody, I am a huge Shawn Michaels mark. But when Shawn is out there with an actual wrestler, he can make it work. With Kurt Angle, matter of fact, he's had some of the great matches of all time with Kurt Angle. He can make it work, but he's not able to tie them up in pretzels like Finn can do. Because Finn has that core base, whereas Shawn knows a handful of really cool wrestling holds that he can go to, pro wrestling style holds that he can go to, you know. And so, and Dunn having that style of wrestling background anyway, it really allows for this to be fantastic, right?
Oh yeah.
Did you think that I haven't seen a better wrestling match this year. Now, I get it. It's only February, but
it is only February.
But
so granted, the first match you ever saw in January was probably also the best wrestling match you saw that year because it was also the very first one.
Right.
Which is true for everyone, technically. I have to remember all the matches I've seen thus far, but this was very, 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 very good, at least in the list,
It looked believable. They were telling stories. There was, correct me if I'm wrong, I only remember one, like, finisher kickout, and that was by your world champ. When Finn, maybe Dunn did kick out of a 1916. Two, so maybe that was two kickouts of, but usually Finn went to, you know, Finn finished him off with actually three heavy duty finishers, right?
Yeah, which is what I was saying about like when they put the gas on at the end, they put on the gas.
Right, because they countered each other the entire match, and then they start countering one another's active brutal moves to go with that, and. Every time Finn had it going, Pete was able to rip the fingers. Or, you know what was cool too? And it's a New Japan thing. The battle for wrist control. You know, nobody ever says that unless it's an Okada match. He's got wrist control because you know the Rainmaker required. You know what I'm saying? But it was kind of cool that you would see that in this style of match. My goodness, I just really liked it. Now, of course, the stretch run winds up with the missile drop kick into the coup de grace, into the 1916 for the 1-2-3, and Finn is still your champion. Birch and Lorcan come out and jump him and beat him down. They hand him back to Dunn. It looks to be over. Doom has approached. Undisputed Era comes out, and we have been working on turning these guys baby faces, and lo and behold, they run them off.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, we have Kyle picking up Finn accepting it, you know, like after they're finally, like they have each other's respect and they're all of that. They're all standing there. The Undisputed Era pull up their signs. We have Finn slowly putting up the gun when I'll let you say it.
Shawn Michaels shows up.
The betrayal. The betrayal.
Never stand to the right of Shawn Michaels or Adam Cole when you think things are fixing to get nice.
Adam Cole turned on somebody?
Adam Cole kicked the teeth out that boy's mouth. And then when O'Reilly gave him a little trouble about it, he kicked the teeth out of his mouth too and walked off. And where do we go from here? Because the story of the Undisputed Era has been the backbone of this show for, what, 3 years? Two?
Yeah. They have been keeping it, like, Undisputed Era has been, like, really the backbone of NXT for a while. Like, they've always at least been in, like, you've had Ciampa, Chan Gargano. You had Keith Lee, you had Rhea Ripley kind of acting that, the women's division has acted like that, but the Undisputed Era has been there and staying and doing it since they started, honestly.
Yeah, and it's interesting because then you had as his boy and former tag team partner is laying on the ground and his current tag team partner is storming up the ramp saying, "Let's go, leave these punks here." You have Roddy Strong just looking around bewildered, like, I can't believe what's just happened to me. What was the meme you sent me?
The meme that I sent you. It was something that someone I follow put up, which was Adam Cole and Finn Balor, and it's from Captain America: Civil War. Captain America said, "I was your friend." And then Kyle
Rose
said, "So was I," or something like that.
Right. Iron Man and Cap, right? It was, dude, yeah. I thought that was... Okay, what were your overall thoughts of the whole pay-per-view?
What a great pay-per-view this was. Like, no shenanigans except for like some minor stuff, and the ending was quite the twist. Like you knew that was going to happen, but you didn't know it was going to happen today. You know what I mean? It was fantastic, and it was good to just. It was very, very good. I don't know. I enjoy wrestling. I enjoy the pro wrestling. I enjoy NXT. I love AEWs. This is very, very good, though. Very, 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 very good.
I thought it was a fantastic pay-per-view as well. I also am incredibly intrigued by this storyline because, you know, the thing you have in the wrestling world right now is you had this huge... the AEW world, you have these Bullet Club guys kind of getting together and they're openly talking about the Bullet Club on the show and all that. And for, 3 weeks we've teased, well, we have we kind of have a Bullet Club here too. You know, we have Cole, we have Finn, and even if the other guys weren't in the Bullet Club, you know, we can still do it. We can kind of put a New Japan group together. We have Kushida, for goodness sakes. And as they put these guys standing in a row and kind of tease, see, we're going to do it too, they stop it immediately with Adam Cole kicking him in the mouth. And I thought that was kind of a, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but maybe a shot across the bow too.
I don't know if I would call it that. A shot across, at least like a shot at that. I don't see it myself, but maybe, maybe.
Either way, though, incredibly cool storytelling. And I do wonder what we do with Roddy Strong, because Cole kind of needs backup. He always has. So this is interesting, right? Because if he does leave, he probably winds up trying to find a faction if Roddy doesn't come with him. Now, what do we do with Fish when he comes back?
These are the questions. Like, from what they're setting up, they're basically, it's very similar to a Ciampa and Gargano storyline that they're like, but this, and they've been trying to do. I mean, Ciampa versus Gargano was like probably one of their best rivalries that they've ever done.
Right.
So to see them do it again, but this time with something that's gone on much longer than DIY. Was something that, like, we've seen the cracks go on for so long.
Well,
I'm very interested to see where they go and how they're going to set themselves apart.
I've lost track. What are you guys talking about?
I'm talking about Cole and all that. Okay. Here's the thing, too, though. In character, this totally makes sense for Cole. Because it had to be hard for him to allow O'Reilly to be anointed as the leader of his faction anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he for sure ain't going to be cool with Finn coming in. Because one fiddle is one thing. Third fiddle is another. And Adam Cole ain't playing third fiddle. He's just not. You know what I mean? And so it totally makes sense for his character to go that route. And O'Reilly could use being on his own in so many ways, right? Because he's really, really great at wrestling. And he's a cool character.
Oh, absolutely.
So this was a good day then. For all of us, is that a wrap?
I believe it is.
Man. For Nick, thank you so much for calling in from Savannah. For Ray, thank you. For me, KP, we want to tell y'all, thank you very much. We want to thank the Gen Project for helping us out. And we want to go to their website, check out their stuff. And we want to say copyright, Go Home Heat Production, copyright 2021. Nick.
Ray, say it with me. We live.
Oh, my God. We're not talking about that right now.
In a society, and please go home in the society.
Go home. Yeah. This has been the Snyder Cut.